Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
Welcome to the Closing Mark Report. It's February the 6th, 2008. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. And later in this half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Kay Whitlock of Terre Haute Grain in Terre Haute, Indiana. In today's agricultural news, USDA is reviewing the definition of a farm. Farm bill conferees from the Senate have been named, and Iowa's Chuck Grassley is on that list. His top priority remains tightening payment limits. Dave Dickey will be along in a moment with these and many other ag news stories. Oh, and don't forget that just after the bottom of the hour, we'll talk with Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City. And along the way, I'll tell you how Monsanto convinced USDA to offer a crop insurance discount to farmers planting triple-stack YieldGuard hybrids, and consequently, why it is not available on BT technologies like Herculex. It all happens on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. Agricultural programming on this radio station is a production of WILL AM 580, public radio from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
In Chicago, the futures finished the day like this. The nearby March wheat up the limit at 10:33. It was locked up the limit at the end of the day. 10:33 was the high. The low, and looks like that was a settlement price as well. July futures, a 9.56 settlement price, up 21.5. The high there at 9.64.5. The low at 52. Corn futures, a wild and woolly day there. 5.01.5 was a settlement price, down 7.75. Went all the way to 5.28.75 on the top, and on the bottom at $5 for the day. The March contract of 5.14.25 settlement price, down 7.5 cents. July at 5.25.75, down 7.25. And December contract traded in the range from 5.48.75 to 5.25, settled at 25.75, down 6.75. March soybean futures 4.5 cents lower today, 13.18.5, the high for the day, or rather the settlement price for the day. But the high was at $13.73, the low at 13.16. Once again, the settlement at 13.18.5, down 4.5 in the March soybeans. May futures 13.39, the settlement down 3. July at 13.51.75, down 3.25. November beans at 12.79.5, down 10.5 cents today. The high at 37.5, the low at 78, $12.78 in the soybeans for the November contract. Bean meal March contract down $1.30 at 3.51.80. Bean oil down 24 at 55.16. February live cattle, a nickel lower at 91.45. The March feeders at 57.5, lower finished at 104.92.5. And the lean hogs at 58.95 were down 25 cents at the end of the afternoon.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from the Archer Daniels Midland Company. ADM, resourceful by nature.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Joining us now to take a look at what happened at the Chicago Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange is Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Paul.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Boy, what a wild and woolly day that was in Chicago. I bet there were several rumors floating around of why we went to limit higher and then backed off by the end of the day and soybeans and moved lower in the corn, too.
Yeah, there's the wheat market was basically the leader, and of course then we have to bid for acres concept, and it's been an old drum that we've heard about a long time. Also, you know, the options tell us that Chicago wheat could open, you know, basically 13 cents higher based on the options of late. You know, couple things. When I talk to our friends out in Kansas City, they tell me that number one, that a flour mill in the spring wheat area, you know, they can use some hard wheat to blend in the hard spring wheat, blend the formula to get the finished product that's capable to some of their end users. then they can actually substitute 100% of hard red winter into hard red spring to those customers and solve some of the problems. And then there's some people that just have to have the hard red spring wheat. So, you know, there is these big trucks that haul these big flour trucks to one part of the country to the other. You know, there's a transportation cost. But when you're talking about $2 and $3 a bushel, you know, you can do a lot of trucking. So there is a lot of switching that's going on in the marketplace right now. The rumor at 1 o'clock time frame, there was a rumor from the Board of Trade that soon the U.S. government may announce postponement of ethanol mandate for 1 to 2 years. And then we also picked up the story about from Ag Review talking about a 62.2 million ton soybean crop in Brazil. A lot of people were talking like 58, some were 60 million ton, and of course this is one of the larger ones. The weather has been wet in the northern areas. It does look like rain in the southern areas. There's wheat or beans ready to harvest down there. So when you look at a 50-million-ton crop out of Argentina and a 62.2-million-ton crop out of Brazil, that's a 7 to 8 million-ton bigger crop. Also, you know, we did talk earlier about the government obviously is getting a lot of phone calls about this problem of runaway prices. So, you know, we are starting to see certain things that are in the marketplace here to maybe slow this runaway train down some.
So which of those do you believe? Do you think that the Brazilian and Argentina crops are large? Let's start with that one.
I think it could be. I think with this latest rain forecast, I think that's in the realm of possibility. And, you know, I think that's a possibility. My other one that I'm picking up is that on the 2007 CRP rollover, that people can pay a 25% penalty to take some of that acreage out of the CRP, pay a penalty, and they have now to early planting time frame to pay that penalty and take it out. And, you know, it's not going to be all 10 million acres, but there's going to be some to it. They're talking about it in some of the states of Iowa in the west more so than the east. But that's, you know, if you get 2 or 3 million acres into production, that's a big factor in the total equation as well.
Yeah. How about the rumor out of Washington? What do you make of that one? Just a rumor?
I hadn't heard this one before, but I think it's in the realm of possibility. I think that agriculture is a big business, and I think that everybody is willing to do certain things in order to prevent train wrecks. So I think that that's probably something that's logical. Workable, and probably part of the big program. Also, we are going to see some increase and quite an increase in from all the newspaper articles, New York Times, that there is going to be a big increase in planted acreage in Brazil and Argentina next year as well.
All right. But what is your feeling about this marketplace?
I think the wheat market has all the symptoms of a market that's out of control. And, you know, there is market opinions that they need to take bigger limits, that there will be more spreading activity. Well, I mean, in other words, long, old, short, new crop. The new crop, July wheat of 08, is a little overvalued compared with the old wheat. And the spreads are going to start working in a bigger fashion here in the next few weeks.
Am I not right? The Minneapolis has talked about going to 40, and Kansas City says if that's what they're doing, that they're going to follow. I would assume that CBOT might follow as well.
Yeah, but you know, with the wheat basically projecting a price level of $16 a bushel on Minneapolis wheat, or $17, I think one point in time today, $17 bid, $17.75 ask on a Minneapolis wheat contract. These extended bigger limits are a factor, but what we really need to do is actually hear the word liquidation only in the March contract, or bigger limits instead of 40 cents, maybe a dollar limit or something like that, to actually get the trading starting to move, because that's a function of the marketplace, is to function, and without the market functioning, it's hard to get an equilibrium in price in a hurry.
Is it so, as you say, out of control that it really doesn't matter?
Well, I don't out of control. It's an orderly.
It's not orderly
order
at this
system.
Point.
You know, I'd like to correct it if I did say that.
Okay. So, the question is, all right. So the question is, it needs more room to move.
That's
how about that? So that the market can adjust itself to where it needs to be. But does that necessarily have much of an impact on corn and soybeans in Chicago?
Yes, it does, in the fact that we've seen this panic buying in the Pacific Rim to buy corn and buy beans and buy other commodities because we're worried about actually having enough supply. So, you know, the quicker, so we have seen some consumptive buying quick buying to get their balance sheets in order because they don't want to get in the same bad shape as they did in their wheat trading.
Okay.
So to answer your question is yes, it has been a big steamroller in getting covered in the world market.
Yeah, so here's the final question then for you. If we have a bigger crop of soybeans out of South America, and the rumor persists or becomes real of some sort that they might move the mandates back by a couple of years out of Washington, farmers are going to be looking at today's move, and it will make them very nervous. And then we've got the Minneapolis Grain Exchange, which potentially could pull things or at least hold things higher. Which way does it go?
Yeah, this is for everyone to factor in, and hopefully some of this clarification will come quick. My hunch is that if these are real, we're going to hear some clarification by the Department of Agriculture and the Energy Department pretty darn quick.
Okay. Anything else that we ought to discuss before I let you go for the afternoon?
Well, it's very hectic, and everybody's been extremely kind toward this commodity broker, so hopefully we'll have an orderly market and things will be we'll get through this rather unusual period of commodity trading.
And these are the days that you work hard and, well,
it's like playing a Big Ten playoff game every day. You know, it's a big effort and lots of phone calls it's a lot of stress on everybody.
Well, go home and get some good sleep then.
Have a good day.
You too. That's Paul Cooley. He's with ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois. Talks to us on Wednesdays here on the Closing Market Report. Big day in Chicago. Limit moves higher for the wheat in Minneapolis and Kansas City and in Chicago. Bean futures were up the limit at one point, but corn and beans both settling lower on the afternoon. We'll keep track of the markets. You keep listening. Dave Dickey will have more in the morning at 8:49. Be sure to tune in at that time for the latest information on the Chicago Board of Trade in Washington, D.C., and what's been happening in South America.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
At the bottom of the hour, we'll talk with Drew Lerner, World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City. A winter storm warning is in effect now for northern Illinois, portions of west central Illinois, and extreme northwestern Indiana. That until 6 o'clock central this evening. Warning includes the Chicago, Rockford, and Quad Cities areas along with Macomb and all of the I-80 area in Illinois. A winter weather advisory is in effect for portions of central Illinois, including Galesburg, Peoria, and Pontiac until 6 tonight, and for portions of northwestern and north-central Indiana until 10 o'clock Eastern time. This afternoon in northern Illinois, Ed Kieser says it'll be cloudy, some snow, heavy at times with snowfall of 6 to 14 inches. In northern Indiana, cloudy with a wintry mix changing to snow with several inches of snow possible in some areas. In central Illinois, cloudy, windy, and areas of light snow, flurries and drizzle. In central Indiana and the south, cloudy, a few scattered showers. Highs tomorrow will range from 28 in northwestern Illinois to 62 in southeastern Indiana. Tonight in Illinois, cloudy, some snow showers, flurries during the evening hours. In Indiana, cloudy, scattered showers. Lows will range from 13 in northwestern Illinois to 28 in southeastern Indiana. Dave Dickey is here now to take a complete look at the agricultural newscast for the afternoon.
In agricultural news, the Bush administration's budget for FY 2009 includes $96 million in user fees for meat, poultry, and egg inspections. Under the proposal, $92 million would be generated through a licensing fee that all meat plants would pay based on production levels. An additional $4 million would be collected from plants that require additional testing, have recalls or inspections linked to foodborne illnesses. USDA's just revealed 2009 budget proposal also would take steps toward redefining who's actively engaged in farming. USDA Secretary Ed Schaefer.
It is a very complex issue. Yeah. Who takes the risk? Who's putting seed in the ground? Where all those delicate or intricate details come to bear? We pledged then during my confirmation process that we would be reviewing the situation and issuing the appropriate proposed regulations if necessary.
Schaefer says the issue came up several times during his recent confirmation hearing. The FY 2009 budget has roughly $94.8 billion earmarked for agriculture, the same figure as for 2008. Schaefer says that spending remains flat while Congress continues its work on the new farm bill. Meanwhile, Senate conferees for the Farm Bill have been named. 10 lawmakers, 5 from each party, will serve. Iowa Senator Tom Harkin will chair the committee. Other Democrats include Max Baucus of Montana, Kent Conrad of North Dakota, Patrick Leahy of Vermont, Blanche Lincoln of Arizona, and Debbie Stabenow of Michigan. Republicans include Saxby Chambliss of Georgia, Richard Lugar of Indiana, Charles Grassley of Iowa, Thad Cochran of Mississippi, and Pat Roberts of Kansas. Grassley says his top priority remains tightening farm program payment limits.
I don't want to preclude possibilities of compromise, but if you look at the list of people that are on there, just based upon what we were trying to do on Grassley-Dorgan, and particularly consider House opposition to it, we'd have a hard time getting Grassley-Dorgan through anyway. And if it's not for the White House and the U.S. Department of Agriculture over the last month highlighting the need for effective payment limits, I might not even have a chance to modify and make tighter what's in the House or Senate rules.
American Farm Bureau Policy Director Mark Maslin says payment limits remains a divisive issue.
The desired outcome is for a conference that conforms to the norms, and that would mean that the House and the Senate would work this thing out with the between themselves and also with the administration.
The House has yet to choose farm bill conferees. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey, of course, is the Director of Agricultural Programming at the Urbana-Champaign Campus Public Radio Station, WILL AM 580. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week, reminding you to visit our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. There you'll find a downloadable version of this program as a podcast or an MP3 file. It's at willag.org. Now up next, you no doubt have already heard YieldGuard-branded triple-stack corn hybrids are eligible for a crop insurance discount this season. Today, we'll find out why only the Monsanto triple-stack made the discounted rate cut. The short version of the story is simple. YieldGuard triple stack hybrids are eligible for the discount and others are not because Monsanto is the only company that applied to USDA RMA for the discount. University of Illinois Farm Management Specialist Gary Schnittke explains how it happened.
The process that resulted in the BYE is a formal process, Risk Management Agency, which is the USDA agency that regulates crop insurance. Monsanto made a submission, a 523 submission, that basically they made the case using data that their hybrids would result in lower yield losses under drought and stress conditions. Back that up with data. RMA said, yep, we agree with that data, and we'll offer a premium reduction as a result. The reason why it's Monsanto-based is because they made the submission and other companies haven't.
RMA, in its BYE FAQ online, says the submission was carefully reviewed by a panel of 5 expert reviewers and that it was the majority opinion that, 1, the interest of producers were adequately protected within the pilot area, 2, the proposed rates of premium were actuarially sound, 3, the size of the proposed pilot was adequate, it's Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, and Minnesota, 4, the BYE pilot program would not unfairly discriminate among producers in the pilot area, and 5, if the pilot area were expanded, the BYE pilot program would not adversely impact the crop insurance delivery system, not reduce program integrity, still be actuarially appropriate, and not place an additional financial burden on the federal government. The Biotech Yield Endorsement is a pilot program that offers generally a 20% discount when 75% of an insured unit is planted to Monsanto triple-stack corn hybrids. The UofI's Gary Schnittke says in the future he has no doubt other companies will propose discount endorsements based on yield protection. He also says, like Monsanto, those proposals will have to be backed up with solid data.
That has to be documented for these submissions to work. And if it, you know, obviously if it wasn't documented, RMA would be swamped with submissions saying every practice imaginable resulted in lower yield losses.
The RMA board, along with the RMA and 5 expert reviewers, considered the Monsanto yield endorsement application. The board consists of 3 government officials, 4 farmers, an individual involved in the insurance industry, and an individual knowledgeable about reinsurance or regulation. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Chip Jorstad in Champaign at 217-378-7633. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
It's a Wednesday afternoon. Time to take a look at the cash grain market. Kay Whitlock of Terre Haute Grain out of Terre Haute, Indiana, joins us. Good afternoon to you, Kay.
Good afternoon to you, Todd.
Boy, you had to be strapped in for the ride day in Chicago. I bet you were rocking and rolling there in Terre Haute, too.
Absolutely. I hardly have an ear left. I was on the phone all day, bought a massive amount of corn, not a lot of beans, a few, but Omaha tells us that all of our elevators were big buyers of corn today. So, yeah, there was a lot of farmers selling, and basis levels slipped because of it. And whether this sell-off in the board will bring the basis levels back just remains to be seen.
You know, over the noon hour, Sue Martin mentioned something as a possibility that grain elevators were selling corn and soybeans at the board and then just shipping to the Gulf. Did you hear that as a rumor, possibly?
No, I really did not. To be honest with you, I haven't had a chance to really read anything or hear anything because I've been talking to farmers all day. So if there's anything out there over and above just the normal profit-taking, I did not hear it. I'm sorry, Todd.
No, that's okay. I figured you were awful busy today, so you had a lot of sales. And there will be some farmers, I suppose, that will be disappointed because they're looking at less than $5 now, right?
That's true. If you didn't catch it today, I mean, some of the deferreds we got $5, but they were all wanting $5 cash, and we got there today for the first time, And, you know, they're all going to be saying, oh, well, I sure wish I'd have called when I did, but I was busy, and you know how that goes. But,
I put an order in.
Yeah, I'm sure I'll give you a firm offer. I know how that goes. I've been around long enough to know.
Well, you know, I got to tell you, it doesn't seem to be, I don't know where you're at the moment, but something in the high fours can't be all that bad either, I suppose. You think producers ought to take that?
$5 corn shouldn't be ignored. And, you know, we could go higher. There's just, it looks like the carryouts next year, you know, if usage stays where everybody says it is, that we're going to have some skimpy carryouts, and who knows how many bean acres are going to be lured from corn. We've got so much news coming out that this market's going to continue up and down like a roller coaster, and we may not have seen the highs yet, so you can't give up.
Your bids for the day, please.
All right. Cash corn is $4.84. Cash beans are $12.59. New crop wheat today is $8.46.
Thanks much.
Sure, thank you.
That's Kay Whitlock of Terre Haute Grain out of Terre Haute, Indiana. Time to take a look at the regional newscast.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Tom Rogers. It's very difficult to get around the Douglas County city of Villa Grove today. Floodwaters have closed a number of roads, including Route 130 just east of downtown as it crosses the flooded Embraugh River. Fire Chief Ross Elston says one resident had to be rescued from a car, and some homes are surrounded by water. But he says Villa Grove residents have lived through this type of flooding before. Airlines in Chicago have canceled more than 1,000 flights at the city's two airports due to the latest winter storm there. The National Weather Service says areas north of the city could get up to a foot of snow today, while Chicago may see as much as 9 inches. Totals further south dwindle down to perhaps an inch or so in the Champaign-Urbana area. Developers who hope to build an experimental Central Illinois power plant say they'll try to work with the White House and the Department of Energy to get the project back on track. Paul Thompson is the chairman of the developers group, the Future Gen Alliance. He says the power and coal companies will also work with Congress to get money for the $1.8 billion project. Thompson says he hopes Congress will fund Future Gen in spite of the Department of Energy's decision to back away and take three-quarters of the funding with it because of frustration over growing costs. Future Gen is intended to prove a power plant can use coal to generate electricity while capturing carbon dioxide in the fuel and storing it underground to keep it out of the atmosphere. Hillary Clinton lost the election in Illinois, but she still picked up some valuable delegates. Figures from the Associated Press show that Clinton won at least 31 delegates yesterday compared to 62 for Illinois Senator Barack Obama. But 60 delegates are still up in the air from Illinois, so both candidates will see their totals grow. The Democratic presidential race is so close that every delegate matters. Obama's campaign claims he captured 110 Illinois delegates while Clinton got 43, but those numbers haven't been verified. The delegate count isn't being watched so closely on the Republican side because John McCain has such a big lead so far. McCain picked up 54 Illinois delegates yesterday while Mitt Romney got 2. One delegate is still undecided. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason. Joining us now for a look at the agricultural weather is Drew Lerner. He's the senior agricultural meteorologist at World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City. Good afternoon to you, Drew.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, we got a little weather here in the Midwest. Tell me about that first, please.
Well, it's certainly a mess out there, and it started, what, 2 days ago? We're still dealing with the same complex. First of all, of course, we had all that heavy rain that occurred yesterday, and we have many, many rivers and streams over their banks right now across the Midwest. In differing degrees of intensity, there is quite a bit of flooding going on, and that is something that's going to be continuing, I think, as we go on through the next 4 or 5 days, even though the precipitation will finally wind down here by tomorrow morning. But we are going to continue to deal with the runoff from this, and eventually the Ohio River itself will become a little bit more in a state of flood than it has been here recently. In the meantime, it is snowing pretty heavily across a fair amount of the central Midwest, from portions of eastern Iowa and northeast Missouri through Illinois, of course, back across Michigan. We've seen some very heavy, impressive snowfall during the course of the day today, and this is going to continue as we go into the evening hours. There's probably going to be a rather slow end to this storm system that's going to drag it out for several more hours. So some areas from northern Illinois and southern Wisconsin over to Michigan are still going to see some pretty impressive snow accumulations, and travel is going to be absolutely horrendous as we go through the rest of the day. In the meantime, more rain is falling in parts of Indiana and Ohio this afternoon, and that is going to continue to wind down as we go into the evening hours. But again, that flood situation is going to continue to be the biggest issue. After this system is done with, we should look for some quieter weather coming across the Midwest. I would expect to to see a big surge of cold air coming out of Canada for this weekend. That cold surge is likely to lock down the moisture in the soil for a little while, freeze it up a little bit, trap it, and help to reduce some of the flooding across the region. But it's going to be a short-term cold bout. We'll turn right around and warm things back up next week and bring on some more precipitation. So we're not done dealing with this nasty winter weather.
Looks like the coldest day might be Sunday of this coming week.
That would be correct, and we'll probably see temperatures below zero occurring as far to the south as southern Iowa and northwestern Illinois, with extremes getting colder than minus 20 in the upper portions of the Mississippi Basin and especially the Red River Valley of the north.
And then let's turn to the warmer climate, South America. Tell me about what's happening in Brazil at this point.
Well, Brazil's got a problem with wet weather, too. Portions of Brazil just keep getting rain every single day, and some of that early maturing soybean crop is just not getting the job done very well. We need to see drier weather evolve to protect the quality of that crop and to get field work underway when it needs to. Now, of course, the early crop this year is late, and so there is not that much harvesting that needs to be done right at this moment, so we've got a little window of opportunity for some drier weather to come along as we get into late February and certainly March. It'll be very important that we get that, though. La Nina events that are strong like this tend to perpetuate the wet weather bias, so it wouldn't surprise me if we have more issues with the wet conditions in Brazil for a while. Right now, central portions of Brazil are wettest. We are expecting rains to occur nearly every day for the next 2 weeks across some of that central crop region, including such places as southern Minas Gerais, Sao Paulo, and Goiás. Those are the three states that will be most seriously impacted by this. Other areas will get rain, but not nearly as frequent and not nearly as problematic.
Drew, we appreciate you being with us for the day.
Thank you, and have a good day.
Hey, you too. That's Drew Lerner. He's the senior agricultural meteorologist at World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City, and that is today's Closing Mark Report. Remember to tune in tomorrow morning at 8:49 for our first look at the markets. And don't forget, you can listen to today's futures analysis, cash grain analysis, and weather right there on our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible in part by a grant from Risk Management Commodities Incorporated, providing independent commodity and financial analysis to clients throughout the United States. Risk Management Commodities Incorporated has offices located in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. More information is available at 866-837-9027.